Hello, 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 and welcome to a hot off the flat top new episode of Across the Dinerverse, searching for the heart and soul of America, one diner at a time. How you doing? I'm John Murphy, writer and producer on the CBS Science and Technology series Innovation Nation. And now I zigzag around the country talking to people I meet in diners about their lives, their city, and how they feel about the USA. Hopefully, hearing other people's stories and learning about them on a deeper level will help us all to be kinder, more understanding, and maybe even change our minds. Is it possible? As always, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And thank you very much in advance. Or become a patron, where for as little as $3, cheaper than a cup of coffee or soda these days, you can ask me questions, send comments about the show, suggest diners I should visit, get behind-the-scenes photos and content, or engage with me one-on-one. Just visit patreon.com/dinerverse. That's patreon.com/dinerverse. Since I started this podcast last year, I've been looking for a spot to record an episode in South Central Los Angeles, an area of Southern California that has seen and been through quite a bit. The campus of USC is only a mile or so away, yet it might as well be clear across the country. With an acceptance rate of only 13% and yearly undergraduate tuition costs of yowza, $61,503, not too many students from South Central are able to attend the prestigious university. South Central is predominantly Hispanic, making up 73% of the population, with African Americans coming in at 23%. I came across a diner that's been in business at the same location near MLK Boulevard for 54 years. Jack's Family Kitchen. I thought it was perfect. The owner is LaFaye Davenport, and her story is pretty amazing. But getting her to agree to come on the darn podcast was not easy. So I drove down there and met her briefly in person for a couple of minutes, and she said, call her in 3 weeks. So I did. And then she said it wasn't a good time. Call back in another 2 weeks. Okay, so I did. Ooh, sorry, still not a good time. Then she went to Italy for 3 weeks, which I've never been, and I was totally envious. And finally, and she's such a sweetheart, I was able to sit her down in a booth a week ago on a sweltering hot day to get her story. And I absolutely adore this amazing woman. Smart, savvy, kind, generous, warm, and hilarious. So sit back and learn from a business lady who found success in not just one, but two businesses in L.A., and welcome to Jack's Family Kitchen. So do I call you Mrs. Davenport, Queen Davenport, LaFaye? What do I call you?
Faye.
Just Faye.
Yes, Faye.
Not LaFaye.
Not LaFaye. I'm LaFaye in the hair industry.
Oh, so you had a career as a hairstylist before.
Right. Yes, yes.
How long did you do that?
Maybe like 40 some odd years.
Did you own your own salon?
Yes, I did. Yes. I know hairstylists normally don't last that long.
Now, I've seen films for the black community like Barbershop and Beauty Shop, you know, where women go to the beauty salon on Saturdays and they block out their whole day.
Right.
To get their hair done. They're there for 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever.
A big occasion.
Is that really how it is?
Yeah, yes, depending on the services that they're receiving. Now, Saturday and the weekends are big deals because more events happen on the weekends. So everybody wants to look their very best. So they're getting total services. They're getting relaxers. They're getting color. They're getting haircuts. You know, they're getting the works.
Did you make a good living doing that?
It was
look at that smile on your face.
Yes. It was a nice living. Yes. Comfortable.
Were you a millionaire?
No. I am a millionaire with the what I receive from the industry. You know, I worked all those years and I never got really tired of it. I loved it. I loved it from day one. And I mean, I'm just grateful that I contributed to the industry. You know, it was a real great run.
So how did you pivot and become like the owner now of Jack's Family Kitchen, which has been here in South Central Los Angeles for 54 years.
Well, I married Jack Davenport.
Oh, the guy who started the place.
Yes, yes.
Ah.
Jack, when he first opened, he was married and he had 4 children. And so he and his wife came together, and the children, they all made a pact that they were going to work together. And that's why it was named Jack's Family Kitchen.
Hmm.
And so that's how it started. And
but wait a minute. Okay, so he was married before. Did she pass?
Yeah. Oh, she's passed away recently.
I know. Oh.
No.
Uh-huh. Oh, they got divorced.
They got a divorce.
Uh-huh. Okay. Were you married?
Yes, I was married, and I got a divorce.
How did you guys fall in love? How did that work?
I worked in a beauty salon that was next door to Jack's Family Kitchen. So I was always over here eating.
And you were the cute girl he had his eye on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, let me just be honest. I mean, did he have an eye on you while he was still married?
He used to be winking and blinking at me, but I didn't pay him any attention. He wasn't quite my type.
Why not?
Well, I am 5'9". I was 5'11" then. And he was about 5'5".
Oh, so, short guy, yeah.
So that in itself just...
Women don't really have a thing for shorter guys, do they?
Pardon me?
Women don't really have a thing for shorter guys. That's kind of an issue sometimes.
No. Shorter guys love tall women.
Yes.
Tall men love short women. I don't know why. I can catch any short man going down the street. I don't know. It's something to make them feel good.
I guess. All right. So you attracted Jack, Mr. Davenport, the founder of Jack's Family Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
You attracted, his eye.
Right.
Because you were coming in here to eat.
Right.
Working at the beauty shop next door.
Right.
So then what happened? How did you eventually get together?
I guess, his marriage didn't work out. My marriage didn't work out. And I moved around the corner. I was working for someone else when I worked in the beauty salon next door. And then I moved around the corner and opened up my own beauty salon.
Oh.
And so while I was working over there, he would, after he had, I guess he had gotten a divorce. I hope he had gotten a divorce at that time. He would be watching over me because I would be in there late at night. And he would be in the car, and he would go to sleep. And I'd go home. I never knew he was out there.
That's hysterical.
Unbelievable.
So he thought he was doing a good service by watching over you, protecting you.
Right.
Uh-huh. You had no idea he was out there, and he'd just fall asleep in the car.
No.
Did he ever get his car jacked while he was asleep in it?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
He would just wake up and I'd be gone.
So what was the one thing that happened that convinced you, I'm going to marry this guy? What was the one thing that happened where you go, okay, I'm all in?
Well, he consistently was trying to pursue me.
Mm-hmm.
So he was bringing me breakfast. And then when he couldn't bring me breakfast anymore, he started, we were there late on Friday nights. And Friday night is a fish fry ordeal for us. And so he would bring a big thing of fish. And all the customers that were left in the salon would get a chance to eat fish. And, and they would tease me about him coming. And I was going no. But it was, it was nice. And that went on for years.
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 Okay, so he started Jack's Family Kitchen in 1969.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get into what it was like here in South Central Los Angeles at that time in a minute here. But so what year was it when you finally broke down and said, all right, leave me alone, I'll start dating you or whatever?
Maybe the late 70s.
The late 70s?
The late 70s.
So good, maybe 10 years he was working on it.
Uh-huh. Right.
How did his family feel when he married you, and did he bring you into the business?
No, I didn't. The restaurant has always been his thing. the salon was my thing.
Gotcha.
And he said, we'll keep that separate. You know, like, he knows the rest. I don't know anything about beauty business. And I don't, he didn't want me a part of the restaurant business.
Okay.
You know, so, and that was fine with me.
Because the restaurant business is hard work.
I didn't know anything about it. So, you know. Mm-hmm.
When did he pass?
In 2012.
In 2012.
2012.
Okay.
This is 30 years later. We've been married 30 years at this time.
Is that how you come over here and start managing the place?
Yes. You know, that was like a shock to me because Helen, who has worked here at Jack's since she was 17 or 18 when she came here, she has been here. Helen, I consider more of Jack's child than his natural children.
Who is Helen?
Helen is a waitress here, and she's worked for Jack all those years.
Is she still here?
She's still here.
No.
Yes.
She's been here for 54 years?
Yes. She basically has a chair, but she kind of like oversees, you know.
Well, of course.
Yes.
You know. Well, that's amazing to keep waitress in this place for 54 years.
First job.
Only job. So tell me about Jack's Family Kitchen. You know, what is it about this place that's made it survive for 54 years? And what was Jack's specialty? Was he a front of the house kind of guy or the back end of the house?
He was in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. Okay.
In the kitchen. That's
cooking.
Where his skills lie. And he hooked up with, you know, like soul food. I would say a home cooked meal. And that's what I think attract people. It's like there's no frills. You're not going to get anything elaborate. You're going to get good down-home cooking.
What? You don't have avocado toast here?
No.
You don't.
They don't know anything about avocados.
What? You don't have béarnaise here?
No. And when it comes down to omelets.
Yes.
They do their omelets on the grill. So that's like a shock to other people who are used to having fluffy omelets or whatever. And so, I mean, when you come here, you're getting serious down-home, out-of-mama's-kitchen food.
Old-school food.
Uh-huh. Old-school. And it's, you know, and they serve it nice and hot.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing. I think that's one of the selling points of the food. It comes out nice and hot.
This location, Jack's Family Kitchen, is right near USC, one of the premier colleges in all of America. Does this place swarm with students on football Saturdays or what?
Well, you know what? USC knew nothing about Jack's Family Kitchen until some students came in and started taking pictures of the food.
Oh, and social media.
And we were surprised. Yes, social media.
Right.
They were taking pictures and posting them. Then all of a sudden, the clientele changed. I mean, we got a mixture of everybody.
So primarily, it was an African-American, black people's restaurant for South Central Los Angeles.
South Central clientele.
Right.
You know, like really down-home people.
Right. No white people
fancy.
Were coming. No white
no,
people were coming
no,
here.
No,
at all.
No, no.
People were not driving from Beverly Hills
to have
brunch here.
Uh-uh.
Okay. But then the USC students started posting it on social media, and it grew and grew from there.
Yes.
Well, I think that's beautiful. That's beautiful thing.
It is. It was wonderful. I mean, great advertisement. But Jack himself, he had given food to, you know, like students, like kids that were growing up, and they come in, they didn't have any money. He would give them French fries or hot dogs or French fries or hamburgers. I mean, he feed homeless people.
I mean,
he had a big heart, you know, so that helped his business a lot. And people have been coming here from generation to generation. Most of the people come here, their parents brought them or their grandparents bought them.
I saw on one of your posts on your website, player or footballer or something like that, the food is still great here. Since I started coming here in 1970, the food is still just as good. He was a football player, maybe USC or maybe the Rams or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And, man, that's quite a testament.
that is really a testament because the quality of the food is the same, you know.
What do you think Jack's Family Kitchen and this restaurant being at this location for 54 years, what it means to the community?
They feel like this is like home. I mean, they identify with this place because, you know, like it has been a staple in the community forever. And by it being here, and Jack was the person who was like, it was always open. They never closed up. You know, I mean, it was do or die. He didn't want to ever open late. If he woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, if he thought he was going to oversleep, you know, he would leave home and come here to make sure he was here. And so the stability of the business will keep people coming also.
Right.
And he was always, you know, consistent, always.
Were there any really hard times in keeping this restaurant open?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. As a matter of fact.
I'm sure COVID was difficult.
Oh, well, COVID was rough, but you know what? We got a really major blessing during COVID because Marquise Dawson, a councilman over this district, was eating in here. And we wound up getting a contract for doing senior meals.
Oh.
During that time, I mean, you know, we were going to have to close because, you know, we weren't doing to-go orders. To-go orders wasn't our mainstay. So, but when we were doing those senior meals, he was, you know, we were doing 25 to 50 meals on the days that we would do senior meals.
And you had a city contract to do that, provide those meals.
Mm-hmm.
What other periods of time did you guys struggle?
3 or 4 years prior to me coming here, the business had kind of gone down. It was dwindling, you know. I don't know. At that time, I don't know because I was like in the here business. And so I didn't know what was going on here, but I listened to Helen and she was going like, since you've been here, things have really picked up or whatever. But they were still doing things, I think, too old school way because they only accepted cash.
Mm.
They wouldn't accept credit cards. And so when I came, I was going like, how do you operate without credit cards? Credit cards made a big difference.
Of course.
A big, big difference.
Yeah. And even if you're paying a 2 to 3% usage charge, you're still accessing more available customers.
Right. Yes, yes. And people tend to spend more when they do it on their cards anyway.
You know, that's true because they don't feel it.
Uh-huh.
When you're holding cash and you're forking over an extra five, you feel that.
You know it, yes.
But
exactly.
If it's just a digital number, you just, whatever.
Like,
you know?
Yeah, right.
That's great.
I do it by myself. I understand.
Exactly right. Uh-huh. What was your relationship like with Jack? I mean, because he ran this business, you ran your hair salon, and were you in competition with each other about who was doing a better business?
Okay, in the beginning, he said, I'm in here to make money. You're in here for popularity because everybody knew about Simply Raw. You know, it was the largest black salon in the city of L.A.
And what was the name of your...
On Wilshire Boulevard, Simply Raw Hair Designers.
Simply Raw Hair
Designers.
And it was the biggest hair salon in all of Los Angeles?
Yes.
On Wilshire Boulevard.
It was 6,000 square feet.
What?
Yes.
6,000 square feet?
We were really blessed because we had a salon designer come in and build the place out because they wanted it for a showroom to show off, you know, their salon products. So it was late.
Have Warren Beatty working for you as a hair cutter? You know,
no.
From the shampoo days?
Our stylists, I would put them up with Warren Beatty or Jean Chicot, Vidal Sassoon, because that's the kind of training that they got vicariously through me. I started.
Did you train with Vidal Sassoon?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
You trained with Vidal Sassoon?
Yes, yes.
What was that like?
I didn't realize, well, he wasn't big like he is now. You know, this was in the beginning.
Very nice.
I know. Yeah, that was wonderful.
So you built the biggest hair salon in all of Los Angeles, had a Wilshire Boulevard address.
Right.
And Jack here at Jack's Family Kitchen is walking around going, I'm making money.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
He was a little rooster.
And roosters got to crow.
Right, right, right.
And speaking of crowing, who is this Mississippi rooster guy that comes in here? I've seen on your Instagram account that just walks in, cock-a-doodle-doos, and then walks out. Who is that guy?
That's Mr. T. Everybody knows Mr. T. He comes here every day and eats. And he wakes up the place when he comes in. If it's not the rooster crowing, he has something else that he'll do. I mean, but he alerts everybody that he's here. And people recognize him in the streets from being here.
He looks like a very tall man.
He's about 7 feet something.
Is he really seven feet tall?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. And he wears this, like, Panama hat,
yes.
You know, and he's got a cane.
Right, uh-huh.
But he just opens the door and starts cock-a-doodle-dooing. I mean, and people seem, and on the videos I've seen on Instagram, people aren't even, like, flinching. They're just like, oh, hey, there's that rooster guy.
Right.
There's Mr. Rooster. I guess
that's part of the entertainment. That's part of the atmosphere.
All right. Can you believe that's a human being making that rooster call? I mean, seriously, it's nuts. Turns out Mr. T, I don't know if this is a secret or not, is absolutely in love with Faye. Oh, yeah. And desires to explore a deeper relationship with her. But Faye's not quite there. And as she likes to say, I got too much going on. Sorry, Mr. T. Is this a place to see things?
Yes. Will be entertained.
Really?
Yes.
And what kind? Aside from Mr. Rooster, what other entertainment facets do you have here?
Well, like the regular customers, they give the waitresses a hard time. So sometimes the girls that have been here, there's three of them that's been here forever and a day, they have a stick behind the counter, and they'll get this stick, and they'll
whack a customer.
They said they're gonna get you. I mean, it's like a show. If you don't calm down, they say, I want my food.
Oh.
If you don't calm down, just hold your britches. Hold your britches on.
Man. Wow, lots of color and flavor here, right?
It is a lot.
So what have you seen in this community since you've been part of this establishment? You know, Jack's Family Kitchen. Family sometimes can really screw things up. How is the family?
You don't want to
know. Oh, see? Here we go.
You don't want to know. You don't want to
know. Has there been conflict and strife with the family?
Recently, it is.
Have you ever been accepted by Jack's family since he married you?
His sister was not a lover of me, but she had a daughter that adored me. And that was really good. She had a son. He was kind of like on the fence. But, you know, like we always got along, you know, no real problems or whatever.
Does the family get along now?
Well, I know. Do I have to say this? Now we're going through a little rough patch, I should say.
I'm sorry.
But, you know, it's called life.
Yeah.
It's called life. And we will get through this too, because my father will take care of me. I'm his kid.
You're talking about a heavenly father.
That's exactly.
The big father.
Exactly.
The original OG.
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
And I'm so grateful that I do trust and believe in him. That's the only way I've kept my sanity during all of this.
I'm sure.
Because this has been a whirlwind.
I'm sure it's very painful. When you get involved with these financial entanglements and property entanglements involving family.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously, even though you're in South Central Los Angeles, mm-hmm. it's not Beverly Hills. However, all property in Los Angeles is valuable.
Yes.
Especially a standing property that's a pillar of the community for 54 years. There's huge value here.
Yes, it is.
In regards to this community, South Central LA, obviously people outside of Los Angeles through movies and TV shows and have perceptions about it.
Yes.
It's a tough community, maybe. It's a violent community, whatever. How would you describe the South Central Los Angeles community being here and owning a business here that's been supported by this community for 54 years?
I think it's absolutely wonderful. You know, our community is the reason that we're here today, because there are people who come here every day and eat. I mean, there are retired people. I mean, people from all different walks of life that come here. And it's like, this is a staple in the community. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to see this go. Nobody wants to see it go. And it shouldn't. It shouldn't. My hopes was that the family would keep it and, you know, like, let it continue to be Jack's Family Kitchen. But our hopes and dreams don't always turn out the way we want it. But I know that the business means a lot to the community. And if you talk to anybody, you know, look online and see the posts that mm-hmm. they post about the place. They, you know, they love it, you know.
Yeah.
And I love that they love it, you know. And I don't want to disappoint them, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm just getting older.
Right. How are things today versus 1969?
Oh, it's so different. Oh, my God, is it ever different, you know. You know, the prices of food and, you know, just the ability to stay afloat in this economy is really, it's great. I mean, it's amazing, you know, that we've been able to sustain ourselves doing this, you know, because the price of groceries have gone up and everybody is feeling that. And when we have to raise prices, it's like, oh, you know. But, you know, like, you have to do it because if the you can't just give the food away for free. You know,
yeah,
you got to make a profit. So that's been a hard balancing act, a real hard balancing act. Yeah. And then, you know, like, we've had to cut down, like, hours. I mean, there are a lot of adjustments financially you have to make. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the girls don't understand. I hear... sometimes they want more hours or whatever. But I said, work your job, do what you're supposed to do. You will be taken care of, you know. And it works out. It really does.
Do you have trouble hiring and keeping good employees? Obviously, Helen's been here for 54 years.
I felt a responsibility to keep the place open because these people had worked here for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... they were getting close to retirement time, so I was thinking if I could just keep it going so that they would not lose their jobs. And then Ray Ray has been here since he was a baby. He came in washing dishes,
yep.
And now he's the top chef here. I mean, that's really amazing, you know. And he learned, you know, from Jack, and so he's kept it going. And since Jack's been gone, he's opened up every day consistently like Jack. So, you know, like, you want to make sure people like that are being taken care of, too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I felt like I had a responsibility to keep it going.
So this restaurant's doing well. How is South Central Los Angeles doing as a community? What do you see?
I see small businesses closing up, being swallowed up by... larger businesses coming in. I think that's the fear that the community feel about this place is, will we be leaving because of a larger conglomerate coming in?
Like a big chain would come in and buy the property
And
turn it into something else.
Right.
I know, obviously you're a businesswoman, right?
Yes.
What is your plan? Do you want to pass this down to the family, or do you want to possibly sell it and walk away?
I did. I wanted to pass it down through the family, but you can't make the family. A person has to have a desire to do this.
Right.
And right now, I don't see the interest from the family to do that. So I'm going to have to do what is best for me. And on my birthday in January, I will be 80.
Oh,
so
no.
It's time for me to, you know, like, if I don't do it now.
I hope I look as good as you when I'm 80 years old. You are fat. You look like you're 50. You look amazing.
Okay, all right.
You look amazing.
No, but I have, you know, like, it's time for me. You know, it's time. And I would like for the situation to turn out differently. And I'm working on a plan for it to turn out differently so that Jack's will continue you know, even though Jack is not here or I'm not here, I want the business and the name to carry on. I really do. And right now, that's my goal. And usually when I see things and I see how it could work, it'll work. It will work.
So you wouldn't sell to like a Chick-fil-A or something like that, big corporate conglomerate?
No.
No matter how much money they threw at you. They said, we'll give you $25 million for this plot of land and this business.
Don't make me lie.
Okay, we'll give you $5 million for it.
Don't make me lie.
Don't make you lie.
Well, you know, I would really like for the business to stay in the community. Maybe it may not be able to withstand this location, but if it's close by and we still have Ray Ray, you know, the basic materials that's going to make it work, I believe it'll work.
What have you learned in 50 plus years of being a business person? What advice would you give to somebody trying to get into a business, launch a business today in 2023?
Well, don't ever give up. Whatever you're doing and the things that you're doing may not work today, but that don't mean that it's not workable. It's just you got to find another way to bring forth your ideas. Your ideas never die until you just give up on them. But as long as it's alive, there's always where there's a will, there is a way. And you just have to keep on mulling over, Lord, what way is it? Show me what it is. There is another way, as long as you don't give up. And that's with everybody. All the inventors that I know about, they didn't quit. That's why they invented something. If you don't quit, you get it. But you can't quit. It may not work the first time. Don't worry about it. That's a part of life. Just keep on. You got to truck on.
I'm a writer and producer on a TV show called Innovation Nation.
Okay.
Which airs on Saturday mornings on CBS.
Uh-huh.
And our motto, our tagline for the show each and every week is dream big, don't quit.
Don't quit. Whatever. You got to dream big and don't quit. And write your ideas down. Write them down so that you get put legs to those ideas. Mm-hmm. Write them down. Everything that the way you see it happening, write it down. Bring life to it. And it may not work the first way, but it will work as long as you don't give up on it. That's right.
A lot of things, there's been a lot of racial tensions through this part of Los Angeles throughout the years. You had the race riots in the 60s. You had Rodney King riots in the 90s. You know, there's a lot of issues, a lot of, you know, division, a lot of anger between sides and things. Where are we as a country, from your perspective and your perspective only, as a racially integrated nation?
I'm just going from what I see. I believe there will always be a divide as far as race is concerned. I don't think that you can change a person's mind about how they feel. I think that you have to know who you are and don't do what is typically expected of you. Think higher. Do you. You know, you can't make anyone accept you. Just like I know all Black mothers and fathers talk to their sons about how to approach the police. They can't change what a policeman feels inside. But just being humble and, you know, and submissive at the time that you're being approached will save your life. That's the most important thing. And I know that we want to be treated better, but the way you're going to be treated better is you've got to act better and just let other people, what they think, let that be them. Don't let that be who you are. Race is going to be race, you know, and there's always going to be prejudice. Mm-hmm. And we're prejudiced amongst our own selves. So
in what way?
You know,
Is it really about the color of the skin? Too dark, not dark enough,
right,
that type
of thing? You know, people that have money or feel like they're a little better, than people who don't have money.
Do you feel you've been discriminated against because you're a successful black businesswoman or looked at differently?
Yes. But
in a negative way?
Yes, but it doesn't bother me. I mean, I'll put it like this. It doesn't surprise me.
Hmm.
You know, your success is what you have inside of you.
Right.
You know, you have to see yourself above where somebody else sees themselves. Because someone think of you as less does not make you less. You know, I am who I am. And what you think of me is your business, not my business. And it cannot stop me as long as I keep my eyes on my prize.
That's beautiful. You should be a teacher. Man.
I have been.
Yeah, for girls coming up through the girls, that's a mistake.
Yes, yes.
Did you have men come up through your academy and teaching all that kind of stuff? Yeah, of course.
The men are the more vocal ones about what I've done. Truthfully speaking, you just want people to think good of themselves and do better for themselves. That's all.
In all of your years in the salon business, what is the absolute best and the worst hairstyle you've ever seen?
That's hard. Now, okay, other people have opinions of how black hair is designed or how it's treated. I hear this thing of, you know, like if you straighten your hair, if you press your hair, a relaxer, that's because you want to be white. That ain't because you want to be white. You want to have manageability, you know.
So everything's not about race.
No, it's not. It's just about, and why the worst thing that I see now is our people have been bamboozled about our hair. And so they're just shampooing their hair, and they get up in the morning, and they go, and they look like, doggone it, I'll bite you. That doesn't say anything about who you are, not to me. You look like you smell because it's unkempt. It does. That's my opinion. Okay. Now you're going to have the whole world upset with me.
The thing, too, that, you know, I think is just wrong is everybody now is offended by appropriation.
Right.
You know, it's like a white person can't sing a Stevie Wonder song.
Right.
That's ridiculous. Music is for everybody. And also... any rapper can do a Beatles song. It
Thank
doesn't
you.
Matter.
No.
Music is
doesn't.
International, you
right.
know, and I...
Why can't
yeah.
we just... I mean, when you hear black music, you enjoy it. When I hear white music, I enjoy it. I love... there's a lot of country and western that I like. That, I mean, honestly, because Jack played it all the time. You hear it, it grows on you. Why, because I'm black, should I not like country and western?
Well, no, it's to the point now you can't. You can't. You're a black woman. You should not be listening to country
That's
music.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I'm a white man. I should not be listening to Lizzo.
Right.
Or
right.
enjoying Lizzo or even trying
right.
to dance to
right.
Lizzo
right.
or whatever,
uh-huh.
you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, I just think we're but, just, you know, I think we're insane now.
That's called confusion.
Yes.
It's confusion. And basically, that is to keep people separated. If we all would come together, oh my God, this world, oh my God.
Well, that's one of the reasons.
Oh my God.
This is why I'm doing this podcast.
Uh-huh.
This is why I travel to diners everywhere and talk to people who are different uh-huh. than me and
right.
everything else and get their experience because mm-hmm. when people listen to other people's story
right.
in context, in a full conversation, mm-hmm. there's understanding and there's a
yes.
willingness to be open to accept who they are for what they are.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
I'm the time of my life talking to you.
I know. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you.
I thought
it was going to be hard.
No, it's not going to be hard. Yeah. I'm an easygoing guy.
Right.
I'm an easygoing guy.
Okay.
Well, I did want to ask Faye one tough question about the ongoing discussion of reparations for Black Americans as a form of money justice for the pain and suffering Black people have endured in America since slavery was first introduced here, also to the Jim Crow laws used to segregate and incarcerate people of color, terrorism by organizations like the KKK, and systemic racist behavior toward Blacks, and such behaviors as racial profiling by the police and higher rates on credit cards, auto loans, and home mortgages.
Truthfully, I don't need reparations because that's the past. I want to move forward. And there's nothing, as long as I'm not being stopped from doing what I need to do to make my living, to make, there are going to be always roadblocks. People feel as though they need help. But I believe on your own, once you make up your mind what you want to do, I don't think nobody can stop you. Only person that can stop you is your own self. And this, everybody I know that has that same determination, make it. So I'm kind of lopsided in my thinking when it comes to that, because I know what we're all capable of. And everybody said they can't make it. That's you. That's not just me. I don't have any special powers. I just believe in myself, and I believe in what I can do. And I, you know, I trust God that he's going to help me through it. And it works. God is not a respecter of persons or races or anything. So if he helped me, he'll help you.
Well, you know, congratulations on just maintaining Jack's Family Kitchen here going on, you know, rounding the corner of 54, heading towards 55 years.
I know. Unbelievable.
Man. And congratulations on being a pillar of this community and being a North Star for people to come where they can feel comfortable and just be themselves.
That's wonderful.
And it's a pleasure talking to you and meeting you. And thank you for giving so much of your time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. And welcome to...
You helped me to get over one of my fears.
Well, what's that?
Talking in front of a microphone. Microphones scare me.
Well, nah. See, they don't hurt, do they?
No.
No. And welcome to the Dinerverse.
Okay. Yes.
Take care. God All bless. Right.
God bless you.
All right, that wraps up another episode of Across the Dinerverse, and many heartfelt thanks to Faye Davenport for being my guest from Jack's Family Kitchen, a mainstay of South Central LA for 54 years and still going strong. For menus and location, visit them at jacksfamilykitchen.com. All one word, jacksfamilykitchen.com. And I know carbs are technically illegal in the state of California, but try their old school biscuits. Ooh, fantastic. If you like the episode, please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And to support the show for the low, low price of $3, visit my Patreon page at patreon.com/Dinerverse. And thank you very much. Theme music by Keith Brock and the Kings Who Rock. Across the Dinerverse, searching for the heart and soul of America, one diner at a time. I'm John Murphy. What's your story?